Welcome to Grace Bible Study. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 33? Ezekiel chapter 33. Now, what we're going to talk to you today is about eternal security. Now, eternal security is the teaching that once you're saved, you're always saved. Now, it wasn't always like this. It used to be different. It used to be your salvation was by works and you had to endure unto the end. And what we want to do, we want to explain to you the difference between the two teachings. Now, I want you to look on the board, the screen right here. And what I want to do is I want to show you a time chart. Now, to the left of the dispensation of grace that you're looking at, okay, in the middle we have the dispensation of grace. To your left, you'll see before grace that their works were involved and also that they had to endure unto the end. Now, on the right side of the dispensation of grace, you will notice the same thing, that their works are involved and they have to endure unto the end. But if you notice in the middle of the screen there, where it says the dispensation of grace, that is the time we're living in now, during the dispensation of grace, you're sealed unto the day of redemption, and your works are not involved in your salvation. So what we want to do is explain the differences between these two teachings. Now, what also, before we get going in the scripture, I want to also tell you about differences between some denominational teachings, all right? Some denominations teach eternal security. Some denominations teach that you can lose your salvation, okay? Now, on this chart that we're about to show you, you'll look on this chart and you'll see that denomination A, they teach salvation by grace through faith, and they teach that you're eternally secure in Christ Jesus from the very beginning of the world to the very end of the world. And what they do is they use all the scriptures that apply to that teaching, all right, and the rest of them they avoid. Now, you'll see at the bottom of that, you'll see another time chart, and denomination B, what they'll do is they'll teach from the beginning of the world to the end of the world that you can lose your salvation and that you have to endure unto the end. And what they'll do is that they'll use the scriptures that apply to that teaching, and then they will avoid the ones on eternal security. But if you look at this new chart, what we have is the dispensation of grace once again, and it shows the difference between the time that you're eternally secure and the time that you have to endure unto the end, okay? So what we're going to do now is we're going to go ahead and get into the scriptures, starting in Ezekiel chapter 33, and I want to show you back in Ezekiel where they could lose their salvation. All right, let's go on. Ezekiel chapter 33, notice in verse 11 it says, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say unto the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live." So what we have here is scripture that tells us, well, if you do bad, then you're going to die, but if you do good, then you shall live, okay? So what we have in the Old Testament scripture is their salvation was based upon whether they did good or not. All right, I want you to go to John chapter 4. Now, this might be a little review from some of the studies we've had before, but I want you to fully understand about the teachings of eternal security and then enduring unto the end, how they are different. I want you to go to John chapter 4. Let's go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, Now, I want you to notice here in John chapter 5, verse 28, it says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." So what we have here is we have scripture that tells us that if you did good, you would come unto life, and if you did evil, then you would come unto the resurrection of damnation. So the teaching is that your salvation was based upon whether you were good or not. The Apostle Paul also tells us that. I want you to go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, all right? Now, in Romans chapter 2, please don't get confused because it is one of Paul's epistles, but in Romans chapter 2, he's talking about time past. All right? Now, I want you to notice in Romans chapter 2, notice in verse 5, Romans chapter 2, verse 5, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds." Notice it says, according to his deeds. "To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile." So what we have here is, so far, we have Paul telling us about them that did good would come unto life, and them that did evil would come unto damnation. Once again, just like it says in the book of John. Notice in verse 11. "For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." Now, I don't want to get into the teachings of the law and grace today. That's not my point here. My point is to teach about eternal security against that when you can lose your salvation. But what we have here, the teachings that, you know, teach when you were under the law, that's when you had to endure unto the end, okay? Now, I want you to notice in Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Romans chapter 3, verse 21, the Apostle Paul is still talking. He says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Okay? Notice in the first two words he says is, "but now." So what he's doing, he's talking about a different time from the time that they were under the law and that they had to do deeds. Okay? So what we want to do now is get into the scripture that tells us about how they have to endure unto the end and what happens to them if they don't endure unto the end. Now, before I go on to that, I want you to understand, I want to show you these verses first, okay? These verses that I'm about to show you show that you can lose your salvation. But when we finish with these verses, and we won't be able to get to all of them in this study, but we'll get to a lot of them. After I show you these verses, then I'll go on and show you the verses about how you're eternally secure in Christ Jesus, okay? I want to show you both, not just one side of the story. I want to show you both sides and where the teachings come from for each denominational teaching, okay? The people that teach that you can lose your salvation, I want to show you where they get those scriptures from. And the people that teach you are eternally secure in Christ, I'm going to show you where they get those from. All right? Now, we are living in the dispensation of the grace of God. You are eternally secure in Christ Jesus. But there are plenty of scriptures that go against that. Okay? Now, watch. Let's go there. First of all, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24... All right, I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 24, I want you to notice in verse 13, it says, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Now, this is a very popular verse with those people that teach you can lose your salvation. They say, well, if you don't endure unto the end, you won't be saved. Well, that's exactly what it says, okay? So this teaching right here is not a teaching on eternal security. In fact, you won't find the teachings of eternal security in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's not there. You'll find them in the epistles of the Apostle Paul. He was given the doctrine of the gospel of the grace of God, and that's where you'll find the doctrine of eternal security. All right? Now, so what we have here, this is scripture where you had to endure unto the end. Now what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and go to the book of Hebrews, and I want to show you more scriptures where you could lose your salvation. Okay? I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. All right, in Hebrews chapter 3, I want you to notice in verse 6. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." Well, what happens if you don't hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Well, you won't be partaker of Christ's house, okay? Now watch, verse 14. "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." So what we have here is two scriptures here to definitely tell you that you have to hold your confidence steadfast unto the end, or you will not be saved. You will not be partakers of Christ's house, okay? All right, now I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Now there's a teaching going around, all right, that you can get saved, okay, and you can fall away and lose your salvation. And then you can get resaved again, all right, by repenting and get back with God. You can get resaved, and then you can lose your salvation again, and then you can get resaved again. In other words, it goes over and over and over. You can get saved, lost, saved, lost, saved, lost, okay? Well, that's not what the Bible says. I don't know who started that teaching out there, but that is not what the Bible says. Now watch, let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. Now, under the teachings about losing your salvation, I want you to understand in Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews is full of losing your salvation here. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 6, notice in verse 4, all right? Now, this is very, very important. Now, watch. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." All right, so what we have here, we have scripture telling us it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance. One more time, verse 4. "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened," verse 6, "if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance." All right, so in other words, back before the dispensation of grace started, if these people fell away, they could not be renewed again unto repentance. It just wasn't happening. They were done for, okay? They were history. This is what the Bible says. The Bible does not indicate you can get saved, lose it, get saved again, lose it, get saved again, lose it. It's not there, people. The book of Hebrews will tell you that. I don't know where this teaching come from, but it's a very, very bad teaching. Now, I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, I want you to notice in verse 26. Now remember, we're covering verses of Scripture where you can lose your salvation, all right, that you have to endure unto the end. Notice in Hebrews chapter 10, notice in verse 26, it says, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." So what we have here is we have people here that notice in verse 29, he says that they were sanctified with the blood of the covenant, okay? So what we have here is we have Scripture telling us that at one time they were sanctified, but now because they sin willfully after they have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for their sin. So what we have here is we have more Scripture that indicates you can lose your salvation, okay? And there's plenty more. We're going to catch a few more of them here. In fact, go to, we're in Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go to verse 39. He says, "But we are not of them which who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." In other words, you could draw back unto perdition, all right? You could fall back and lose your salvation. All right, I want you to go to 2 Peter. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, I want you to notice in verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." So what we have here is more Scripture as telling us that it's better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than have known the way of righteousness through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and then turn away from it. They're worse off, okay? So here's another Scripture about losing your salvation. Okay, let's go on to the book of Revelation. In Revelation, John had the angel appear to him, and the Lord revealed some things unto him about not only the end times, okay, but also the time that John was living in at that time. In fact, he told him to see what you write down and write it and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Now watch, notice in verse 11, Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, unto Laodicea." All right, so what we have here is we have the Lord telling John what to do. He said, look, what you're going to see, you go ahead and write it down, and I want you to send it unto the seven churches. Well, I got a question for you. Did John send it unto the seven churches? Well, of course he did. He gave it to somebody because we got it now, okay? So he sent it to them. Now watch. I want you to notice in verse 19. We're in chapter 1, verse 19. It says, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." Okay? So he tells them three things. He says, write the things which thou hast seen. He says, this is the things I've shown you right here in chapter 1. And the things which are, which is chapter 2 and chapter 3, and then the things which shall be hereafter. Okay, in other words, the future things, he calls it the hereafter, which doesn't start until chapter 4. In fact, let's go to Revelation chapter 4. In Revelation chapter 4, notice in verse 1 it says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." All right, so in other words, the hereafter things or the future things about the book of Revelation, okay, don't even start until chapter 4, all right? So what we have in chapter 1 is the Lord showed him some things about the candlesticks and stuff, and then in chapter 2 and 3, he's writing letters unto the churches. Well, some people say those churches didn't exist. Those churches will be in the future. Well, that's hogwash, people. John wrote these things. He sent it to the churches, okay, and they got these messages, okay? Now, these were Jewish churches. Now, in chapter 4, verse 1, that's when the future stuff starts being talked about in the book of Revelation, all right? So what we have here is John wrote some things down, and he sent it to the churches. Now, these churches are not the Gentile churches that Paul was writing to. These were the Jewish churches, okay, that were scattered among Asia. All right? Notice in Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2, all right, he says in verse 8, And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now watch verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Okay? Now, do you know what the second death is? Let me explain to you what the second death is. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter 20, all right, notice in verse 14, Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, it says, And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, okay? What is the second death? Being cast into the lake of fire. All right, so what we have here, let's go back to Revelation chapter 2. It says in verse 11 again, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. In other words, they will not be cast into the lake of fire. But what happens if they don't overcome? They're going to be cast into the lake of fire. They will be hurt of the second death. Okay? So what we have here is we have Scripture. John's writing to these Jewish churches in Asia, okay? And he's telling them that they could lose their salvation if they don't overcome. Okay, now watch. Let's go on. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, notice in verse 1 it says, And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Now watch verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Okay? Notice it says here that if you overcome, then the Lord will not blot your name out of the book of life. But what happens if you don't overcome? Okay? Well, he's going to blot your name out of the book of life. Okay? In other words, these people in these Jewish churches here, they could lose their salvation. That is very clear here. We've got plenty of scriptures. In fact, there's plenty more scriptures here we could use about losing your salvation, but I'm thinking you're getting the point here. What we need to do, we need to divide this study up because I want to teach you about the scriptures that you can lose your salvation, but also need time to teach you the scriptures that you can, that you're eternally secure in Christ, and that's what we're going to start right now. Okay, now, first of all, I want you to go to let's go to some quick, easy ones. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, I want you to notice in verse 12, starting in verse 12, it says, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Notice it says here that you were sealed with that Holy Spirit. Okay, in other words, God took you and sealed you with the Holy Spirit. All right, notice in chapter 4, verse 30. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says, And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. All right, so what we have here is we have Scripture that tells us how long you are sealed to. You know, I've talked to some people about eternal security, and a lot of people believe you can lose your salvation. And I showed them this Scripture. And he goes, oh, well, you can break the seal. I said, wait a minute. God puts a seal on you and you can break it. I said, how do you break it, the seal? And they said, well, you sin against the Lord. I said, so if you sin against the Lord, your sin is more powerful than God's seal. And they started thinking about that. And I go, well, let me show you something. Watch. Let's go to Revelation again. Go to the book of Revelation. Well, I tell you what. Let's go to the book of Luke first. All right. Now, I want you to go to Luke chapter 4. Now, I want to show you something about the devil. I want to show you how powerful the devil is, okay? I'm talking about Satan here. All right, Luke chapter 4, I want you to notice in verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now watch verse 5. This is very important. A lot of people don't understand this. Verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. All right, so what we have here is we have Satan taking the Lord Jesus Christ and putting him up on a mountain. Okay? Watch what happens now. Verse 9. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So my point here is, Satan took the Lord Jesus Christ and put him up on a mountain, and then he took the Lord Jesus Christ and put him up on the pinnacle of the temple. Okay? Satan is very powerful. All right? And guess what? Does Satan know Scripture? Sure he does. He's quoting Scripture to Jesus Christ. All right? Now watch. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 again. In Revelation chapter 20, notice in verse 1 it says, And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. All right, so what we have here is we have God taking Satan and cast him into the bottomless pit, all right, and setting a seal upon him where he cannot get out, all right, and he's going to be there for 1,000 years. Question, can Satan break the seal of God? No way, people. It ain't happening. Now, when God sets a seal upon you with the Holy Spirit, do you really think that you can break a seal that God puts upon you? No way, people. God put it there for a reason. It's not because you deserved it, that's for sure. God did it because He loves you and He wants you to be saved. Now watch. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, all right, it says in verse 30, And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed, notice, unto the day of redemption. All right? In other words, you're sealed all the way up to the day of redemption. Well, what is the day of redemption? Well, that is the day that our bodies will be redeemed. Okay? God has promised us that He's going to take our vile body and change it and fashion it like unto the Lord Jesus Christ's glorious body. Okay? And that is the day of redemption. The Apostle Paul has died. He died in the first century A.D. there. But you know what? He is still sealed. He is sealed unto when? He is sealed unto the day of redemption. Now watch. Go back to Ephesians 1. All right. In Ephesians 1, notice in verse 13 again. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. All right. Well, that purchased possession is your bodies. God bought you with a price. Okay. He paid for you with the blood of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are sealed with that Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. All right. Notice in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8. All right, Romans chapter 8, notice in verse 23. We're going to cut to the chase here and just go to verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Okay, so what we have here is we have the Scripture telling us that during the dispensation of grace. Now, people, I'm going to show you the chart one more time right here. Now look on this chart. I want you to look in the very middle. This is the dispensation of the grace of God. This is the only time that you have eternal security. This is the only time you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Okay? So this is a very special time we're living in. Sure, there's plenty of scriptures that deal with before the dispensation of grace. There's plenty of scriptures that deal with after the dispensation of grace. Okay? But they do not pertain to the dispensation of the grace of God, where we have the church, the body of Christ, or the one new man, whatever you prefer to call it, okay, where you are sealed unto the day of redemption. What has happened is you become part of Christ's body. You become a member of his body. Now watch this. Go to 1 Corinthians, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, all right? Notice in verse 27. It says, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." So what we have today, people, we have become members of the body of Christ, okay? And guess what? All right? God Almighty sealed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch. I want you to go to the book of John. In John, I think it's in chapter, well, here it is right here, chapter 6, okay? Notice in John chapter 6, verse 27, it says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Okay? Question. Did God the Father seal the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, he did. What happens when you become a member of his body? Well, you become sealed. How long are you sealed? Till you sin? No, you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, I want you to understand, back in the old days, God judged people by their works. If they were bad, they weren't going to have eternal life, okay? He was only saving the people that were good. But today, God is justifying the ungodly, all right? I want you to go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 4. I tell you what, let's go to Romans chapter 5 first. All right. Romans chapter 5, notice in verse 6 it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." All right. Question. This is what I always ask people. Did Christ die for the ungodly? Yes, according to the Apostle Paul, the Lord Jesus Christ died for the ungodly, and God is saving ungodly people today. Now watch. Let's go on. Verse 7. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Okay, so what we have here is God is justifying the ungodly. Now watch. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So in other words, it says here in Paul's saying here in verse 5, he says, if you don't have any works, if you don't do any works for the Lord, all right, but if you believe on him that justifies the ungodly, well, who's justifying the ungodly? Somebody's out there justifying the ungodly because the Bible said so, all right? Well, the Lord is justifying the ungodly today during the dispensation of grace, all right? So what we have here is your salvation is not based upon your works, Okay? Therefore, your keeping your salvation is not based upon your works. Your works did not get it for you. Therefore, your works cannot let it go. Okay? So your salvation is based strictly upon faith, by your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? You become part of His body. The Bible says Christ is in you, your hope of glory. Now watch. Go to Colossians. In Colossians, I want you to go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, notice in verse 26, the Bible says, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." So what we have here is we have a mystery that God wants us to know about, okay? And it is Christ is in you. He is your hope of glory. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing He died and paid for all your sins at Calvary, Christ goes in you, okay? He becomes part of you. Your body becomes a temple of the Holy Ghost, and Christ is in you. He is your hope of glory. Now, please remember that because we're going to need this verse in just a little while, all right? Now, I want you to go back to Matthew, all right? Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Now, you remember the scripture I showed you where the Lord says that the good will come unto the resurrection of life and the evil will come unto the resurrection of damnation? All right, you remember that back in John chapter 5, rather? All right, now watch what it says here in Matthew chapter 22, all right? In Matthew chapter 22, verse 1, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests." Now, let me explain something to you people. God the Father is going to have a wedding one day for His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He invited the nation of Israel to this wedding, okay? Salvation was meant for Israel, okay? But they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and so God says, okay, y'all don't want it, I'm going to give it unto the Gentiles. And I'm going to give it to them by grace through faith, and I'm going to save whoever will believe, okay? The Bible says the promise is given to them that believe. And notice in verse 10 here, notice midway through the verse, he says, both bad and good. God is saving the bad and the good today. That ain't like it was in the past, okay? In the past, he was saving just the good. But today, he is saving people, whether they're bad or good. It doesn't really matter unto him. The Jews rejected salvation, so he says he's going to give it to the Gentiles by faith. And God is justifying the ungodly today through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So that is why God can seal you unto the day of redemption. Because your salvation is not based upon your works. Now watch. Now watch. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, notice in verse 8. Ephesians 2 verse 8 it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So what we have here is we have the Apostle Paul telling us that our salvation is not based upon our works, okay? It is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right, I want you to go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. In Titus chapter 3, I want you to notice in verse 4. We're going to start in verse 4. It says, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared," verse 5, "not by works of righteousness which we have done, But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So what we have here is we have Scripture telling us that our salvation is not based upon our works of righteousness, okay? But it is based upon God's mercy. Now, let me show you a couple examples here about people that did some bad things, but yet they're still going to have salvation. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, don't go around telling people, Brother Jerry's preaching a license to sin. How many times have I heard it? It makes me sick, okay? I'm not teaching people, oh, you have a license to sin. I teach people you should live a godly life, okay? The Bible tells us that we should live righteously, soberly, and justly in this present world, okay? But you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Bible says you should not use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. All right, now watch. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, notice in verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. So here we have a guy, he's having fornication, okay, with either his mother or his stepmother, okay? He's having sex with his father's wife. That's not a good thing. Verse 2. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So what we have here, the Bible says, deliver this guy over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, but his spirit is still going to be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus, okay? In other words, this guy, he's eternally secure in Christ. He done a bad thing. The Bible says if you defile the temple, God will destroy you, okay? And that's exactly what happened. In fact, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. All right? I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. All right? Notice in verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So what I'm trying to do is warn you first, people, before you go out there and say, oh, I'm sealed, I can go do anything I want. No, don't think like that, okay? The Bible says here, if you defile the temple, all right, of the Holy Ghost, which is your body, you defile that, God will destroy you, okay? You'll still be saved, but you don't want to cut your time here on earth shorter than you have to. All right, now watch. Let's go on. All right. Now, I already showed you in Romans chapter 4 that if you didn't do any works, but you still believed on him that justified the ungodly, your faith was counted for righteousness. Now, watch. I want to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it talks about doing works. Okay. Notice in verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. All right, so what we have here is when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ and all your works get burnt up and there's no good works there for you to show whatsoever, guess what? You're going to suffer loss, but the Bible says you'll still be saved, yet so as by fire. So your works have nothing to do with your salvation, people. Your salvation is based upon who you trust. And that trust should be put in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch. Let's go to some more scriptures. All right. Now, some people say, okay, well, I'm sealed until the day of redemption, but what happens if I slip back? What happens to a person that has faith and they get caught up in something and then their faith kind of seems to just drop off, all right? Well, let me ask you a question. Did Christ die and pay for their sins? Yes. Have they trusted Christ as their Savior? Yes. Is their body a temple of the Holy Ghost? Yes. Is Christ in them their hope of glory? Yes, He is, okay? Now, some people will say, oh, well, what happens is Christ leaves you and then Christ comes back. Christ leaves you, Christ comes back. You know, people, it don't work like that, okay? When Christ is in you, he is there to stay. Now watch. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. All right, I want you to notice in verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." And this is what the Bible says, okay? In Romans, it says you are buried with him in baptism into death, okay? And you'll also live with the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Verse 12, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him." The Bible tells us is to count on us not to only believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. And the Bible also tells us in Romans chapter 8, if you suffer, you'll be a joint heir with Christ. In other words, you'll be able to reign with Christ, okay? It says here, if we deny him, he will also deny us. Now, those people that tell you you can lose your salvation, they say, well, if you go in, out and deny the Lord, you can lose your salvation. He's going to deny you. Let me ask you a question. How many times did Peter deny the Lord Jesus Christ? He denied him 3 times, people. Okay? But yet the Lord Jesus Christ told him that he was going to be judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He was going to be in a throne judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So Peter denied the Lord 3 times, but he's still going to have salvation. So it's not talking about losing your salvation here. Now watch what it's talking about. Verse 12 again. "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us." He's talking about if you deny him that suffering, he's going to deny you the reigning. Let's say you go through your life and you never suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, you don't do diddly squat for him. All right. Well, when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat and he's handing out rewards for works, and some of those rewards are reigning, don't expect to reign with Christ, okay? Don't expect to rule with the Lord Jesus Christ. He will deny you that because you denied him the suffering. This is what it's talking about. Now watch. Notice in verse 13, it says, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." Now, question. Remember in Colossians chapter 1, Christ is in you, your hope of glory. What if you get so far back, okay, where you just say, well, I just don't believe anymore? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you still have the Holy Ghost in you? Is Christ still in you, your hope of glory? The Bible says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. You know, amazing thing about the Lord, he's faithful even when we aren't, okay? The Lord is always faithful. He is faithful to those that he dwells in. All right? And no matter what, you're sealed unto the day of redemption. You're not sealed till you don't believe anymore. All right? That's silly. That's what some other people teach. They teach, well, if you get to where you don't believe anymore, you're lost. You're not sealed anymore. And then they teach, oh, well, you can get re-saved again. Well, I already showed you that ain't happening. Okay? So what we have here is we have Scripture. It says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. The Lord Jesus Christ is in you. He is your hope of glory if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. All right. Let's go on to Romans. All right. I want you to go to Romans. Romans chapter 8. All right. Now, there's a lot of people out there that think that if you sin against the Lord, like if you go smoke a cigarette or drink a beer or something like that, okay, that you'll lose your salvation. That's crazy. Okay. They teaching you that your sin is still applied unto you today. All right. But the Bible says that God is not implying your sins unto you today. He is not imputing your sins unto you. Now watch. In fact, hang on. We'll come back to Romans chapter 8. I want you to go to Romans chapter 4 again. Romans chapter 4. It says here, Verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord will not impute sin. Okay, the word impute means to apply. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God is not imputing your sin unto you today. Okay, God has imputed or he has applied your sin unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ died and paid for that sin. God's not going to take that sin back off of Christ and apply it to you again. It ain't happening, people. Okay? God has taken that thing out of the way. He's not imputing your trespasses unto you. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, notice in verse 19 it says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So what we have here is we have Scripture telling us that God is not imputing our trespasses unto us today. He has taken your sin off of you and put your sin on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what God has done, he's taken your sin in your past, he has taken your sin in your present, and he has taken your sin in your future, taken all your sin and put it on the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ died and paid for that sin so that you could have eternal life. And God sealed you unto the day of redemption with his Holy Spirit. Now go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, you know, there's a lot of people out there saying so many things. Your sin will separate you from God. All right? Let me explain something to you, people. God took care of the sin problem. All right? He took care of it with the blood of his precious Son. Okay? The sin problem was taken care of at Calvary. Now watch. Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. People, nothing will separate you from the love of God. He sealed you unto the day of redemption. Why did he do that? He did it because he loves you, all right? You don't deserve to be sealed, okay? I don't deserve to be sealed. God did it because he loves us and he wants us to have salvation, okay? And this only takes place during the dispensation of the grace of God, where we have the church, the body of Christ. He calls it the one new man. And this is what God gives to seal people unto the day of redemption. All right. So what we have is we've had teachings on losing your salvation. We've had teachings on keeping your salvation and being sealed unto the day of redemption. I've showed you both sides of the story, people. I've showed you on the charts where each scripture goes, okay? There's a time where you can lose your salvation, a time where you can't lose your salvation, and then there's a time again where your salvation can be lost, okay? So we've got scripture for all of it. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, okay? I've showed you scripture for both. You've got to divide between the two and see where each one goes, okay, people? This is what God tells us to do, to rightly divide the word of truth. If you're out there today and you're watching this tape for the first time, you've never seen any of these other Bible studies, okay? You might be out there, you might be lost. I want you to go to Romans chapter 10. I want to show you something. In Romans chapter 10, the Bible says in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever asked Jesus Christ to save you, believing He died and paid for all your sins at Calvary? If you have never asked Jesus Christ to save you, please don't go to bed tonight and don't put your head down on your pillow until you ask Jesus Christ to save you. Remember, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.